Good afternoon. This is the Chorus Call conference operator. Welcome, and thank you for joining the FinecoBank Full Year 2017 Results Conference Call. As a reminder, all participants are in listen-only mode. After the presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, they may signal an operator by pressing star and zero on their telephone. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. Alessandro Foti, CEO and General Manager of Fineco. Please go ahead, sir.
Good afternoon, everyone, and thanks for joining our 2017 results conference call. 2017 confirmed once again our successful story of sustainable growth. We are very pleased to propose to the next annual general meeting a dividend per share of 28.5 euro cents, equal to a payout ratio of 81%. Adjusted net profit, which excludes some non-recurring items detailed in our presentation, grew by 8.9% year-on-year, reaching 218.5 million, despite the contribution to deposit guarantee scheme, which amounted at 7.1 million. On a quarterly basis, net profit grew almost 17% quarter-on-quarter and 12% year-on-year, with a strong contribution by all business areas. Excluding the extraordinary profit related to Visa recorded in 2016, gross operating profit exceeded 353 million, plus 11.4% year-on-year, boosted by increasing revenues and a huge operating leverage. The cost-income ratio decreased almost 2 percentage points compared to 2016. Please now go through the following slides to analyze more in details all the dynamics of our results. On slide 6, we have revenues continue their solid and sustainable growing trend, reaching almost 587 million as of December 2017, 10.9% more compared to the previous year. Operating costs well under control at 233 million plus 3% year-on-year, despite the continuous expansion of assets and clients, as you can see at the bottom of the slide, confirming the operating leverage of the bank and the scalability of our platform. Let's move now to the net interest dynamics on slide 7. 2017 net interest income was up more than 6% compared to 1 year ago, supported by double-digit growth in volumes, both sticky sight deposits and lending. I would highlight once again our strong commitment in building a very high-quality lending portfolio, thanks to a strategy focused on offering these products exclusively to our loyal and very well-known base of clients. Volume dynamics more than offset the yearly reduction in gross margins and declining interest rates. As you can see at the bottom of the slide, average gross margins on interest-earning assets lowered from 1.39% in 2016 to 1.28%, and Euribor 1 month from 0.34% to minus 0.37% in 2017. Cost of funding is practically close to zero at 2 basis points. As shown in slide 8, we are pleased to confirm you that we updated our investment policy with the aim to further diversify our investment portfolio through the non-renewal of expiring UniCredit bonds and the increase of European government bonds, in addition to the already announced focused on lending activity. As you can see in the chart on the left side, the bank is progressively expanding its government bond portfolio, and as usual, we will evaluate each new investment according to risk-return opportunities available on the market and currently with our internal asset and liabilities management and risk models, with the aim to progressively further diversify the portfolio. Finally, let me remind our sensitivity to a potential increase in interest rates. A parallel shift of 100 basis points would generate 119 million of additional net interest income. In the fourth quarter, we invested 904 million in fixed rate European govies, anticipating in our net interest income a portion of the expected benefits included in the previous sensitivity. The repricing on current accounts announced last quarter allow us to increase our fixed rate investments, so this trend is expected to continue in the near future. On slide 9, fees and commissions strongly up year on year, a double-digit growth mainly boosted by investing fees. In particular, management fees grew 14.7% year on year, sustained by the increasing productivity of the network, resulting in a continuous successful shift towards gathered products and services. Overall, brokerage performed very well despite the volatility at the bottom since 2013. Core revenues in 2017 ranked as the third best year, but we will deep dive on this later on. Moving to slide 10, we have a detailed overview on cost dynamics. Staff expenses at 79.3 million in 2017. The comparison with the previous year was mainly affected by some releases accounted in the fourth quarter 2016, such as holidays fund and increase in the working force. I want to anticipate that today the board of directors approved the usual free capital increase in order to support the allocation of ordinary shares in 2018 as part of a variable compensation for identified staff, referring to the existing incentive system. Let me remind that, as usual, the beneficiaries, subject to internal dealing procedure, are going to sell the portion of granted shares needed to cover taxation related to these assignments. Other administrative expenses modestly up at 143.6 million, with both development costs to support the growth and running costs substantially flat year on year. Looking at the quarterly dynamics, the increase compared to the third quarter reflects the usual seasonality linked to higher marketing costs in the fourth quarter. Moving to slide 11, Fineco confirmed its strong capital position with a transitional common equity Tier 1 ratio of 20.77% and the common equity Tier 1 ratio fully loaded at 20.62. Let me highlight that the bank is working on the look-through implementation to drill down the underlying assets provided by clients as collateral to Credit Lombard. This will allow a lower risk-weighted assets absorption according with the real underlying asset. As anticipated, we will propose to the next annual general meeting a dividend distribution of 28.5 cents per share, equal to a payout ratio of 81%. Slide 12 summarizes the issue of 200 million additional Tier 1 as announced on January the 23rd. Given the current favorable market conditions and spreads level, we decided to issue the 81 in order to sustain a more diversified investment strategy, as illustrated a few minutes ago. Including the impact of the AT1 to our ratio as of December 2017, leverage ratio pro forma increased to 8%, positioning the bank in a very comfortable zone in terms of leverage ratio evolution. Total capital ratio pro forma increased at 29.5%. On slide 13, we show an overview of the total financial assets growing trend, supported by the healthy expansion in new inflows. 25 billion net sales in 6 years led total financial assets to 67.2 billion as of year-end, confirming Fineco's potential to consolidate its position and take advantage from structural trends in place in Italy, the increasing demand for advanced advisory services and growing digitalization. This is also confirmed by our market share on total financial assets, steadily increasing at 1.59% as of September 2017. Let me underline that Fineco is now fully MiFID II compliant. Considering the new customer protection rules, we have updated the sustainability test procedure for advisory services, implementing new cost/benefit controls for each portfolio review transaction, and provide full cost transparency to customers. In terms of transparency and market integrity, we have updated all information flows with markets and supervisory authorities to the new standards. Moving to slide 14, we summarized the breakdown of total financial assets. As you know, we are strongly focused on the quality and the sustainability of assets gathered. In coherence with the ongoing initiatives to improve the productivity of the network, the asset mix is constantly moving in the right direction with a definitely better mix. As of January 2018, financial assets totaled at 68.1 billion plus 13% year-on-year, of which 49% asset under management. Gathered products increased their penetration rate to 64% on total asset under management. On the right side of the slide, asset under management grew 9.4 billion from the end of 2014. Leveraging on our cyborg advisory approach, the growth skewed towards guided products and services, increased by 12.7 billion in 3 years, of which more than 5 billion in the 2017. We released today very solid commercial data also for January. We gathered 412 million in the month, plus 55% year on year. Net sales in asset under management grew to 253 million, plus 88% year on year, confirming the effectiveness of a process aimed at definitely improving the productivity of the network. Net sales gathered through our financial advisors were at 415 million as of January, plus 51% year on year. They are strongly committed in moving clients into added value solutions, helping clients in managing their wealth with a long-term approach, bearing in mind the client's investment targets. This trend confirms the attractiveness of a sustainable and healthy model, which focuses on organic growth and long-term customer loyalty, with no aggressive marketing campaign, several offer on interest rates, or overpaying recruitment to buy assets and clients. As you know, our growth strongly leverages on the organic component thanks to the unmatched quality of our services. In 2017, out of 6 billion of net sales, 90% was organically generated through the existing financial planners or directly by the bank. 10% come from the new recruits of the year. As you know, in our view, this growing strategy is strongly sustainable in the long run, also from a future cost sustainability perspective, positioning the bank in a sweet spot to cope with the future pressure on margins and potential challenges. For us, recruitment is exclusively aimed to improve the quality of the network through selected new recruits. As of December, the stock of recruitment cost to be amortized in our future profit and loss amounted to 24 million, stable compared to December 2016, confirming the future cost sustainability. Now, I would skip directly to page 20 of the next section before moving to the last part of the presentation. In slide 20, we have some details on brokerage. It's worth spending a few words on brokerage. Confirmed as a strong contributor to our revenue generation in a period characterized by volatility at the bottom since 2013. As you can see in the right chart, revenues in 2017 ranked as the third best period, thanks to the continuous enlargement of the client base and the market share combined with a broader product offer, allowing clients to find the volatility also when there is none on the market. Let's now move to the last part of the presentation on slide 25. Commercial loans grew 121% year-on-year and 28% compared to September 2017, with the usual strict control on credit quality. Our lending is offered exclusively to our loyal customer base, and our deep internal IT culture allows us to fully leverage on big data analytics. This translates into a cost of risk very well under control, as you can see on the right side. Cost of risk was at 33 basis points as of December 2017, 10 basis points less compared to 2016. Going forward, we expect a stabilization of our cost of risk at current levels. Let's move now in analyzing lending initiatives more in depth. As you can see in slide 26, lending offer is very well welcomed by our clients. Mortgages reached a production of 516 million in 2017, around plus 45% compared to the last quarter. This is a very good result with almost 4,800 mortgages granted with an average loan to value of 50%. And an average maturity of 18 years. Our expectation is to continue with this cruising speed also for the future. Personal loans grew 44% year-on-year and with an average maturity of slightly more than 4 years and margins which remain very attractive. Our expectation in terms of new production is around 200 million per year, which means 100 million net in terms of delta stock. Lombard loans at 629 million, more than doubled compared to 1 year ago, with accelerating growth of the new Credit Lombard. Considering we just started some months ago in offering this product, we expect 2018 a growth of around 500 million. Slide 27, moving to the investing area, as you can see, the announced increase in network's productivity is constantly delivered, leveraging on our cyborg advisory approach and the XNet platform. Let me just highlight the mix of 2017 net sales, an outstanding result considering that our growth is mainly organically generated. Private banking area continues to grow and reached around 26 billion as of December, 39% of our total financial assets, 2 percentage points more than 1 year ago. Private banking is the area in which we are growing the most, confirming Fineco among the most important Italian players in this segment. Slide 28 on Fineco Asset Management. The project is proceeding at full speed, and the asset management company is expected to run at full steam by the end of the first half 2018. As regards the bilateral tax ruling, the pre-filing phase was concluded with both Italian and Irish tax authorities. In addition, we are working on a new Irish collective asset management vehicle to make the process of new sub-advised funds more efficient, simpler and faster. Furthermore, we are very satisfied as Fineco Asset Management already finalized the deal with the best partners. On slide 29, in order to provide you a simpler summary on products, we summarize the three main product families included in perimeter of the management company. This project will bring us several efficiency, both on the revenue side, such as savings in terms of wrapping costs, higher margins compared to the current situation, and on the operational side. On slide 30, the potential upside. On slide 30, we confirm that we confirm you that a relevant and recurring improvement in the future profitability of our bank is expected thanks to this project. With the aim to help you in better modeling the potential impacts, we summarize the expected upsides in terms of consolidated margins for each product, both pre-tax and after-tax. The underlying assumptions are the same, a split of revenues between Italy and Ireland, respectively of 60 and 40% for retail class, and no split of revenues between the two countries for institutional class. In terms of volumes evolution, firstly, 7 billion of core series will be moved to Fineco Asset Management. Immediately after, sub-advised funds with around 15-20 preferred partners will be offered to our clients. We estimate that this will bring around 5 billion of additional assets to the management company in 2018 through both new inflows and gradual substitution of current core series and insurer wrappers underlying assets. This process will accelerate going forward, and the offer will also be enriched with new Fineco Asset Management funds of funds. Finally, the cost structure of the new company is expected to be extremely lean, and we are budgeting around 5 million of cost per year. This, combined with expected revenue growth, leads to a very attractive cost-income ratio. Let me remind you that the project will also benefit from the closer relation of trust and cooperation with the Italian fiscal authorities through full transparency, ensuring an ex-ante compliance at the fiscal level, which would avoid any possible future issues with authorities. Finally, on slide 32, we recap new interesting opportunities. As you know, we started to offer our banking and brokerage services in UK, and the first outcomes are, as expected, very encouraging. Mainly through the word of mouth, we reached almost 1,500 clients with a very interesting mix, as 55% is represented by UK Italian residents and 45% by non-Italians. As you know, in our estimates, we do not include neither revenues and costs, but this project represents a concept car for the future evolution of our bank, as we now have a perfect blueprint that could be redeployed in other European countries. As innovation is part of our DNA, we are very pleased to announce an important evolution in our offer. We are internally developing a new diagnosis and reporting tool, which represents an evolution of current STARS that we expect to be very welcomed by our clients. The fee on top for STAR Plus will range from 20 basis points up to 100 basis points with differentiated pricing for asset under management, asset under custody, and ETF. And this will allow us to make asset under custody more profitable. In addition, through the diagnosis to clients, we expect a speed up in the transformation process into asset under management. Finally, as you know, we applied for Patent Box in December 2015, both for intellectual properties and as our platform internally developed, and also for the trademark. Talks with Italian fiscal authorities are proceeding, and the preliminary feedbacks are positive. The process is expected to be closed in the first quarter 2018, and fiscal benefits will cover 5 years from 2015 to 2019. Thanks for your time, and now we can open the call to questions.
Excuse me, this is the Chorus Call conference operator. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. To remove yourself from the question queue, please press star and two. Please pick up the receiver when asking questions. Anyone who has a question may press star and one at this time. The first question comes from Gianluca Ferrari with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi, good afternoon, everyone. My first question is on the recent paper from ESMA on CFD and binary options, in particular the possibility to put more stringent rules for the margin on CFD. I was wondering if you don't fear that this might create an advantage for those trading platforms based in Malta or Cyprus, and a link to that, if you could tell us how much of the 127 million of revenues from brokerage are coming from CFD only. The second question is more a curiosity. I was wondering what happened to your systems this morning. We saw a slight blackout for some minutes. It is a matter of traffic or there was something else. Thank you.
So let me start from the last point. So regarding the, so as you can imagine, so the brokerage, so has been, so has, we had definitely a very good start this year, because January we, that despite the volatility has only slightly picked up, has been a great month for brokerage. And as you can imagine, the last few days has been absolutely great and incredible. And so as you, and so sometimes when you have such a huge traffic, you can put in account that a few minutes at the very early beginning of the transactions, it's not a surprise. So clearly I'm very pleased, and I hope to have also for the next following days the same kind of progress, because this means that the volumes are going to be absolutely outstanding. Regarding the ESMA and so, so as usual we don't comment the position taken by regulators, also because is at the moment all the discussion is based mainly on rumors. But in any case, let me explain the based on the rumors that they are circulating on the market, that there is the possibility to have a tighter rules on leverage and target market for clients. Regarding this point, this we expected that is not going to be detrimental to the Fineco business. On the contrary, can be an advantage for Fineco, because Fineco is characterized for being definitely less aggressive than the other players on the market. So if ESMA is going to move in the direction of leveling the playing field, this is going to help in bringing back some clients in Fineco, because that they left Fineco in the past for example, getting a much more aggressive leverage. So regarding another rumor, the possibility of the ban on binary option. Binary option represents definitely a niche, a very small part of our revenue generation. And in the case there is an exclusion of binary option by ESMA, we expect that clients are going to be start on using other kind of products. And so again, also in this case, the impact is expected to be absolutely negligible. in terms of the revenues generated by the world of contract for difference, so putting together CFD, binary, everything put together, is 22 million out of 127 million of revenues generated by brokerage. So.
Okay, thank you very much.
Please.
The next question comes from Alberto Villa with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Three questions from my side. The first one is on the Star Plus, the initiative you mentioned in the last slide. Trying to understand how it works, if effectively the client has got to, let's say, underwrite a different contract and pay the fee on top, and what you are expecting the penetration of this kind of let's say change to affect your margin, so to benefit your margin, and if you expect this to sort of compensate the pressure on margins that you always mentioned as one of the consequences of the current situation in terms of expected returns and introduction of MiFID. If you can elaborate a little bit on that point, could be very useful. The second question is on the diversification. Now that you decided not to renew the UCG bonds, if I'm not wrong, you mentioned in the previous sensitivities to diversify govies on different countries. I was wondering if this remains, or you are concentrating the investments into Spanish and Italian government bonds in particular. And the third one is on the private banking that is growing very strongly. I was wondering if you can give us a definition of what is private banking for Fineco in terms of client size or financial advisor size, and if financial advisors that are under the private banking are incentivized or get different rebates from the rest of the network. Thank you.
So let me start from Star Plus. So Star Plus is perfectly in currency with what's going on in the market, because clearly the introduction of MiFID II is going to move the market much more in the direction of advisory services characterized by explicit fees. As you know, Fineco has been by far the front runner in the Italian market, introducing in 2008 the fee-only concept with advice, and then we put together also the Star service that was a bridge between fee-only and so on. Clearly, with the introduction of MiFID II, the level of acceptance by clients of services characterized by an explicit fees is expected to grow, because now for the clients is pretty clear, because there is the playing field is going to be leveled, because clearly also the implicit fee are going to be evident to the clients. And so this is a new generation of service, and clearly the main goal is to offer a really broad range of advisory to the clients. And clearly I want to remind that Fineco has 13 billion of asset under custody, of which between 2 and 3 billion are used by clients for trading purposes, but more than 10 billion are not used by clients, and so they are not generating any significant amount of revenues. And so clearly, Star Plus, it's a great opportunity for us for for providing to our clients better services and to generate more margins on our asset under custody activities. Clearly, going forward, when the service is going to be deployed and up and running, we are going to be more precise on which kind of expected increase of revenues we can have by the introduction of this new service. Regarding the investment policy, we are confirming that as currently with the more or less the indication we gave in the past few months, Now, the bank has decided to move definitely in the direction of not renewing the UniCredit bonds. And we are confirming that we are going to move in the direction of a diversified European government's portfolio. For 2018, what you can expect that the blend is going to remain mainly represented by Italian and Spanish govies. And later on, in the following years, we are going to move also in the direction of other European European countries. Regarding private banking, the threshold we are using for defining which clients are part of the private banking business is the 500,000 euros, so the half million threshold. So all the clients with more than 500,000 euros of assets are private banking clients. And in terms of regarding the financial planners, that we have at the moment the private bank, the financial planners that they are clustered in the private banking area are slightly less than 300, slightly less than 300, and they are not receiving a different payout and compensation, but clearly they are receiving additional personal benefits. They have a dedicated set of educational tools, dedicated meetings, the possibility to interact very directly with the top management of the bank, and so this is the situation.
Okay, thank you. Just one thing I cannot reconcile: if there are 300 private banking with private banking assets amounting to 26 billion, it means that there are a lot of customers with more than half a million that are with private financial advisors that are not private bankers. Is that correct?
No, that's correct, because the approach we are using is a very pragmatic one, because private bankers that have many clients that are private banking clients, but they have as well clients that are not private banking clients. In the same story, we have traditional financial advisors that they are not private bankers, but they have private banking clients. And so we prefer that to avoid the mistakes that sometimes is made by traditional banks, is to bring the private banking clients cutting their linkage with the financial planners that they are usually using to put them with a private banking, because what is important is the stability of the relationship. So your point is absolutely correct.
Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Matteo Ghilotti with Equita. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, Justin. Couple of questions. The first one is on fees, because quarter on quarter I saw that the brokerage fees were up, the investing fees were up, while the banking and other fees were down. I wonder if there is any reason they were down something like a couple of million, 1.5 million. The second question is on the bond portfolio, the govies portfolio. Roughly speaking, how much do you plan to invest in govies in 2018? And may I ask you if the bonds are classified as held to maturity, available for sale, just to understand if there is any volatility in terms of prices and interest rates, if there is a potential impact on unrealized losses. Thank you.
So regarding the trend on banking fees are affected because there is As you probably know, we introduce a repricing on the credit card, and so clearly the contribution of this new repricing is not linear. So we have some quarters in which the impact of this repricing is bigger because we have a larger number of credit cards expiring, and some other quarters in which the impact is lower because the number of credit card expiring is lower. So there is nothing strange. You have to expect that this process is not going to be perfectly linear because the expiring of credit cards is not linearly distributed quarter by quarter. The total amount of investments on European govies is pretty much in the same line. So if you take the runoff of the unitated bonds, you can get more or less which kind of amount of additional European government bonds you can expect that we are going to buy during the year. In terms of impact, the most part of these bonds are classified in held to maturity, and so this is not expected to produce any kind of volatility on the P&L of the bank.
Thank you.
As a reminder, if you wish to register for a question, please press star and one on your telephone. The next question comes from Anna Adamo, Autonomous Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you for taking my questions. On the asset management business, you previously mentioned that you will spend roughly 100 million to set up the business. When do you expect to account for these additional costs for the asset management business? That's my first question. And the second question is on the NII sensitivity. Your NII sensitivity has come down from 132 million to 120 million. What is driving this change? Thank you.
So in terms of the Fineco Asset Management, nothing has changed because as we announced also in the previous presentation, we are confirming that the expected running cost for Fineco Asset Management is going to be 5 million per year. So there is we have no any significant additional other kind of setup cost. So this is the, again, is we are expected to have every year 5 million of cost for running the company.
But the cost of creation of the business, I mean, the administrative cost, the cost of...
Everything is embedded in this 5 million, so there is nothing more on top of that.
Okay.
Regarding the decrease in the interest rate sensitivity, this, as we explained, clearly that we are this is current with the process that we are constantly as clearly now the bank has a much wider room for investing fixed rate assets, and so clearly what you can expect is that in a very smooth way the bank is expected to keep on increasing the dimension of our fixed rate investment, because as we explained in the previous presentation, the bank still is running in a position in terms of asset liabilities management that is not perfectly matched. So when I say that it's not perfectly matched, because what I mean that we would need to have a larger exposure to fixed rate investments. And so clearly, the more we progress in this smooth process of increasing the fixed rate investments, and progressively you can expect that the interest rate sensitivity is expected to keep on going down. So it's a way of pocketing the interest rate sensitivity of the bank. So this is the reason.
The next question comes from Filippo Prini with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Yes, good afternoon. Two questions. The first one, your guidance on operating costs for 18, obviously excluding the 5 million impact from setting up the asset management product in Ireland. And the second question, still again a clarification on your investment portfolio. So basically, do you expect to basically replace what is maturing of UniCredit bond with government bonds? So lending business will be on top of that. Thank you.
Yes, definitely. The lending business is going to be on top of that. And regarding the cost, so the guidance is clearly as the guidance we are giving on the cost is practically we expect a growth that is going to be in line with 2017. plus around 5 million per year related to Fineco Asset Management.
Okay, thank you.
And so we practically, so unless we have some huge, totally unexpected major disruption in markets and so on, you can expect the cost income ratio keeping on going down.
Okay, thank you.
The next question is a follow-up from Alberto Villa, Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Yes, sorry. Just a quick follow-up. During your speech earlier, you mentioned about the benefits on RWA from the look through on the assets on Lombard lending. I was wondering if you can give us an indication if that's going to be material on the capital ratios or is just a low impact.
Yes, yes, because at the moment, this is in order to keep the everything extremely simple, because clearly from an operational point of view, we have not yet implemented the look-through process. As probably you know, the look-through process, it's a way for, because if you have not the look-through process in place, based on the regulatory frame, you have an weight in terms of risk-weighted assets that is
75%.
In the moment that you have the look-through process in place, you have the possibility to enter in a much more analytical approach. So and having a weighting that is current with the assets that you have really in your funds portfolio. This process is not implemented yet because clearly it was not urgent because the bank is in an absolutely comfortable capital position. Clearly now that the overall amount of the Lombard loan is exceeding more than 600 million euros, now is the right timing for introducing this look-through approach. And this is expected to lower considerably the weighting on the risk-weighted assets. In terms of so at the final end, considering the expected increase in lending, thanks to the implementation of the look-through risk-weighted asset evolution, practically, we show only a slight increase with a modest impact on Core Tier 1. So what I would like to mean that clearly, thanks to the introduction of this, despite the fact that we are going to keeping on increasing the lending business on residential mortgages and personal loans and so on, putting everything together, the overall amount of lending product is going to produce only a very modest impact on the creation of additional risk-weighted assets. So clearly, the introduction of this look-through approach is going to bring a material benefit in the direction of an efficient capital management of the bank.
Thank you. Just a final one. You normally don't give that, but in terms of net sales, after the 6 billion in 2017 and a good start in January, are you expecting this positive trend to continue at this path, or you see any reason
why? As we are confirming what we are used to say every time, that clearly we are not obsessed by gathering a few hundreds of millions or more or less, because again, we are extremely, for us, it's important to grow robustly, but it is even more important to do that in a very sustainable and healthy way. And so this is the way we are going to keep on running the bank. Having said that, it's pretty clear that the structural and secular trends that they are supporting our business are fully in place. So the change of habits by the Italian clients, digitalization, and the big headwinds against small and medium regional banks, this is expected to be in place. For this reason, we remain quite positive on our future commercial results. But again, it's clearly we are not here for establishing every year a new record in terms of net sales. If it's coming, we are happier. But in any case, we are talking about an amount of net sales that is absolutely outstanding. And again, for us, what is important is to keep on taking advantage of these secular trends and doing that in a sustainable manner.
Thank you.
Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star and one on your telephone. For any further questions, please press star and one on your telephone. Mr. Foti, there are no more questions registered at this time.
Thank you very much to everybody.